You'd have to figure that Stephen Hadley would do pretty well on our daily geo quiz. After all, he's the president's national security advisor. He knows this stuff. But Hadley would have gotten a failing grade from his geography teacher for his appearance yesterday on ABC's This Week. He said there are more effective ways to protest China's treatment of Tibetans than to boycott the opening of the Olympics. Well, that's what he meant to say, but he didn't.
The president is going to the Olympics. What he's doing on Nepal is...
Wait a minute. Did he say Nepal? I think he did.
Approaching the Chinese privately through diplomatic channels and sending a very firm message of concern for human rights, of concern for what's happening in Nepal, urging the Chinese government to understand that it is in their interest.
A White House spokesman later confirmed that Hadley had misspoken. Slip-ups aside, China is taking heat for its crackdown on Tibet. Protesters are also taking Beijing to task for its ties with Sudan, which the United States accuses of perpetrating genocide in Darfur. Others say the Chinese have failed to ease the repression in neighboring Myanmar, also known as Burma. They say China should have used its influence last fall after Burma's military rulers suppressed a campaign of protests led by Buddhist monks. Simon Long is Asia editor for The Economist magazine. He's in London. And by coincidence, the people of Burma are today celebrating their annual water festival. It's actually one of the few opportunities people there still have to gather freely. So having enjoyed the Burmese water festival before, Simon, what's it like?
It can be quite rough, actually. It's a bit like a more familiar one is Songkran in Thailand. And as there, it involves some good-humoured slinging about of water to daub people with a bit of wetness to mark the spring, but can get a bit out of hand. And in Burma, in Rangoon once, when I was there during the water festival, there were people using quite large fire hoses to spray passers-by, and in particular foreigners. I think they were good-humouredly, but quite painfully being sodden with water.
And you got doused?
I did. I got soaked to the skin.
How would you expect today's water festival to be any different from past ones, considering what happened in Burma last fall?
I think the mood in Burma now is both more desperate and more angry than it was when I'm talking about, which was 10 years ago. Then things were bad enough, but there was at least the sense that there was a political process that was moving somewhere. Now, after the suppression of the protests last autumn, people feel that the government has, in a sense, crossed a line by opening fire on monks who are deeply respected. It's just created a huge amount of anger and resentment, coupled with a very bad economic situation and a sense that there is no realistic hope of change on the horizon.
A lot of the world was swept up almost emotionally in the headiness of the protests in Rangoon last fall. I'm just wondering, as somebody who watches Asia, do you kind of feel that Tibet has taken the world's eyes off Burma in kind of a strange way that, you know, one oppressed Buddhist country is too much for the world's attention at once?
I think it's very difficult for the world's media to keep both these places in focus. Both are extremely difficult to cover. Both are, in effect, closed to foreign journalists, at least officially. So they're very hard to cover anyway. And yes, I think that because of the focus on the Olympic torch, the Olympic flame, and the protests around the world by Tibetan exiles, Burma has got pushed slightly down the agenda. But there are months to go till the Olympics. As you mentioned, China's links with the Burmese junta are controversial. So I think we will see the Burma issue too being used in this context, along with Tibet, along with Darfur, as a way of trying to use the Olympics to exert pressure on China.
Simon Long, Asia editor for The Economist magazine. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.